In the first reading today, St. Paul talks to us about our dignity and consequently, therefore, how we are to be living in this world. It's easy in our day-to-day life to just get caught up in the things of this world, focused on money and focused on health and focused on all the things that society holds up to be most important. And St. Paul speaks specifically about that and says that there are some people who live their lives as enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, as we see in the gospel, it doesn't imply that our Lord doesn't want us to be in good health as he restores this little girl to life, as he also restores the woman with the hemorrhage to her health. But sometimes he will allow these things. Like, for instance, you could look at this and say, well, that was nice that he healed that woman, but why did he allow this in the first place? For 12 years she had been afflicted with this hemorrhage. Couldn't he have stopped that from happening? Yeah, obviously he could have. So why didn't he? Somehow we have to look at that and say it was for her best interest. We don't understand why. We don't know what her life was about. But God will allow afflictions in our lives to purify us, to strengthen us, to help us to stay away from sin. We all know well enough our own weakness. And sometimes if we had the opportunity, we'd be out doing something stupid. Consequently, God doesn't give us the opportunity because he knows us well enough. And he knows that if we are trying to do what's right, he will help us. If we don't want to do the right thing, he'll let us go our own way. He gave us a free will. And that's exactly why St. Paul is telling us that our citizenship is in heaven, and therefore we're supposed to be living that way, to use the free will that God has given to us to live a holy life, to live in this world with our focus set on the next. We've all heard that thousands of times. But when we're living in this world, it's just so easy to be focused on the things of this world. Even when we look at what St. Paul is talking about with the body, St. Francis would call it Brother Donkey. It is demanding. It wants all kinds of things for itself. And in a world like ours, which is pleasure-oriented, which is focused on the body, somehow we've got this weird idea that people are only as good as what their body looks like. And you think about the amount of time and effort and money that people waste trying to make their body look like some model that doesn't even exist. All those things that you see in a magazine that people are supposed to be imitating, those are all photoshopped. That's not even what the person looks like. And yet somehow we think, well, I need to buy all these products so that I can look like that. This life isn't about the body. We are human persons, which means we have a body. The body is not evil. The body is an integral part of who we are as a person. But we need to make sure that the way that we are living, that our body isn't weighing down the soul. Because when we use our bodies to sin, we're pulling our souls down. We're hurting ourselves spiritually. And so we can use the body to glorify God. We can use the body for good things. You think, for instance, about what we do here. You sit and you stand and you kneel and all these different positions that we're in to worship God. We're using our bodies as part of our worship. We could just come in here and sit or stand or whatever and just say, no, this is only about my soul. The church doesn't say that. The church says no. Now we're using our bodies to express what's in the soul. The reverence that we have as we genuflect and as we kneel and so on. All these things, our worship is not just spiritual, it is also physical. And so we have a body, and we have to remember that we are the only beings in creation, the only persons in creation who have a body to glorify God. Angels are persons, but they don't have bodies. God obviously is three persons. He doesn't, as God, doesn't have a body. Jesus took one to himself, and it was our human body. So we can't look at our body as something evil or something negative. It's so good that Jesus could take one to himself, and somehow that wasn't a violation of his dignity as God. So our bodies, we need to be very careful about to keep the balance correct. Our society tells us it's all about the body. It's all about what you look like. That's a bunch of garbage. But then you go back in history and you have heresies like Gnosticism that say that your body is evil. Your soul is trapped in your body and is just trying to get out. No, your body is going to rise from the dead. Your body is going to be reunited with your soul and is going to live forever, wherever your soul is going to go. So the body is not something that is superfluous. It is not something that is secondary. And yet at the same time, we can't make it the primary part of our focus, because your personality resides in your soul, not in your body. And so we have to be focused first and foremost on the soul. And so St. Paul then is saying, look, be imitators of me and mark those who walk after the pattern you have from us. St. Paul tells us that he is striving to imitate Jesus, so the people could see the example that St. Paul and the others set for them, how they live their lives, and calling us to do the same, to live our lives in this world in a holy way. St. Paul talks about how he worked and labored and did all these things. He didn't want to be a burden to anyone. We need to look at that too. Again, we live in a society that is all about entitlement. Somehow or another, we all think that we have a right to everything. Whatever I want, I have a right to have it. No, we don't. We need to recognize that there is dignity in work. We need to recognize that there is dignity in the way that we can express ourselves in and through our bodies. We can also and must recognize that there are some ways that we can express ourselves that are very undignified, things that violate who we are as human persons. And that's what St. Paul is talking about, those who would show themselves to be enemies of the cross of Christ. Are we living in a truly Catholic way in our day-to-day life? Not just when I'm alone. Maybe you have a little chapel in your house. You can go into the chapel and you can pray. But what do you do the rest of the time? Are you really living a holy life out in the world? Or do you conform to everybody else if they're not living a holy life? Ask yourself what's coming out of your mouth. There are people who, when they go home, would never use bad language, and yet they go to work and they swear like a sailor. It's like, what am I doing? Well, I'm just trying to fit in. Really? With what? And if you're just going to try to fit in, where do you draw the line? Because if everybody else is doing whatever, do I have to do that too? So we need to make sure that our focus is on the Lord, not on everyone else. Obviously, we need to treat people with dignity, we need to be charitable, need to be kind. All those sorts of things are a necessity. But we don't need to be like everyone else. In fact, we're supposed to be raising them up. Just as St. Paul can say, be imitators of me, people can look at his example. And he's saying, this is going to lift you up. Well, the same is true for us. We can be an example to others. Isn't that exactly what we're told that we're supposed to do? We're supposed to be the leaven in the world. We're supposed to be the light in the world. That means we're there and we're lifting it up. We're enlightening it. So you can ask yourself, is that what I'm doing? When people see me, do they see somebody who is different? Someone who's living a holy life? Someone, and I'm not saying this in a prideful way, because none of us can say, well, I'm better than those people. No, we're not. Because we all know that we can fall into the same sins as they can, and maybe we have. So we're not trying to stand in judgment about anyone else. We're not condemning anyone else, but rather we're looking at the Lord and we're saying, if my citizenship is in heaven, I need to live as a citizen of heaven. I need to be living a holy life. And while I'm on this earth, and sadly, this world has been given over to Satan, as he himself made absolutely clear, all the kingdoms of the earth have been given to me. So that's not hyperbole to say that everything has been given over to Satan. He's the prince of this world, and Jesus used that term about him. So just because we're in this world, do we want to follow the way of Satan? That's what we need to reject. So we have to make the choice to say, I'm going to live as a citizen of heaven. There are little things, even on earth, that we look at and say, well, I'm a citizen of the United States, this is how I live. And you could move to some other country, but if you don't become a citizen of that country, you continue to say, no, I'm from the United States, then you're going to keep certain traditions and certain ways. There's a man that I knew who was from England. Twice a year he would go back to England, specifically to maintain his accent. Because he was living in America, the accent would start to slip a little bit. He wanted to make sure everybody knew he was English. Twice a year, just to be able to work on his accent. Sure, he had family and such over there too. I mean, he went to see people, but it was primarily to make sure that he didn't lose his accent. So if you think of it that way, your accent, not in your voice, but in your life, has to be of heaven. What are we doing to maintain that? Well, that's what we're doing here. We come to Mass, we can maintain that heavenly accent. But it's not just here. It has to be throughout our entire lives. So in this world, the one thing that unites heaven and earth on the physical level is the cross, planted firmly in the earth, but lifting up to heaven. And therefore, that is our focus. And of course, the one who is on the cross, suspended between heaven and earth. And we have him in the Blessed Sacrament. And so again, we have that food for our souls. We have everything we need to build up our spiritual life, our heavenly life. We have the example. We have, the Lord told us, when he's lifted up from the earth, he would draw all things to himself. So we have that. He is not saying that I'm abandoning you. He told us that very clearly. He said he's going to remain with us. So he's there for us. We have to avail ourselves of that gift. But we first have to recognize our dignity. If we're living our lives, whatever it is, however many hours there are in a week, except for one when we come to Mass, if we're living our lives in a worldly way, in a pagan kind of way, then yeah, we come here and we can worship the Lord, and that's good. But what he's looking for is for us to take what happens here, to bring it out into the world, to be united with Jesus, because that's who we are. If our citizenship is in heaven, it's because we're members of Jesus Christ. And so that's where our focus needs to be. So yes, we can look to the saints. We can look, as St. Paul says, be imitators of me, but he's trying to be an imitator of Christ. So we can look to the example of the saints who have tried to follow Christ, but ultimately the focus is the Lord. And the focus is the cross, because that is where the Lord unites heaven and earth. So come to him. If he's drawing us to himself from the cross, and the fruit of that cross is the Holy Eucharist, so we have our blessed Lord there for us. So come to him and imitate him, learn from him. Now we look at that and say, yeah, but if I'm going to imitate the Lord who went to the cross, is that what I'm supposed to do? Yeah. Satan's offering me pleasure. Satan's offering me fun and excitement. Satan's offering me all kinds of things that my body wants. Jesus is offering us what our soul wants. That's the choice we have to make. If we go with the easy way, which leads to perdition, we're showing ourselves to be enemies of the cross of Christ. If we're going to be drawn to Jesus, it's going to be on his cross. And that's where we need to unite ourselves and recognize that just as we see with these people who are being healed, or the little girl who's brought back from the dead, that that's where we're going to find healing. That's where we're going to find life. And ultimately, of course, the resurrection from the dead and eternal life, both body and soul. So that's where we want to have our focus, squarely on the Lord. We are bombarded in this world with temptation. We always have been. You read the saints back in the early centuries. They talk about how far astray society had gone and all the temptations. My goodness, what would they be saying today with all the media and all the stuff that's coming at us constantly? We are bombarded like no society, like no generation ever has been in the history of the world. So it's difficult to be able to withstand all that. And the only way we can do that is if we are united with the Lord, if we're seeking him in prayer, if we have made that choice to truly live as citizens of heaven, to reject what Satan is offering as citizens of this world, to choose what God is offering as citizens of the next, to live our lives that way. So it's not enough just to have a little bit, because we're getting hit 24 hours a day. Make sure you've got your prayer life in good order every day. Look at where in your life you're showing yourself to be an enemy of the cross of Christ, and make steps to be able to remove those things, but replace them with something that's good. Because if all you do is try and remove something, the devil's going to be right there to fill the vacuum. So replace it with something holy and begin to really strive to grow in holiness, so that we're living our lives as friends of the cross of Christ, as people who are redeemed and saved by Jesus Christ, showing the gratitude for what he has done for us by living our lives for him.